Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and talk about the upcoming schedule. Now here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
All right, it's 8:38. Paul J. and Bob Beeler this morning. Chris is on vacation. Man, it's hard to play Wyoming. It's hard to play Wyoming because of all the fouls.
Well, it's hard in that respect, but we'll get to the bracket a little bit later. By beating Wyoming and then having San Diego State win, you could see them in the second round where you would have seen maybe San Diego in the second round. I think it's harder to play San Diego than it is to play Wyoming and win.
Yeah.
But it's just there's no flow to the game.
No, none.
And because everybody was in foul trouble, you just never felt like, you know, the game could move. You didn't know who was supposed to be in the game because everybody had 3 and 4 fouls. I was shocked that only 3 players fouled out in the game.
Yeah.
I thought with about 8-10 minutes to go, we were going to be down to people that haven't been in the game before. It wasn't close enough that you'd think the game would go to overtime and you'd really be in trouble. But it was just one of those days that it wasn't a clean game to watch.
I don't
think it was well officiated either.
No.
I don't think it was all... You know, I think Wyoming's a team that fouls a lot. It's the way they play, the style, and they kind of lure you into that style. But I don't think it was. I don't think that the officiating was good either.
No, I was watching the game with some people, and they went, "Man, this is a hard game to watch." I said, "You think it's a hard game to watch? You should be Beeler tonight. There's no rhythm. There's absolutely no rhythm." And I think Leon said after the game, "Well, it's a nice big crowd tonight, and they got to watch a lot of free throws."
You got that clip, Todd? Maybe it's more apropos right now. The first one where Coach Rice talked on our post-game show about navigating the foul trouble where, you know, in the game there were 29 fouls called on Wyoming. There were 25 called on Boise State. And this is what Coach Rice had to say after the game. I guess we don't quite have it. I rushed you there, Todd. Sorry about that. But we'll get to that. You got it? All right, go ahead.
When to put guys in, because you want to, you know, you don't want to, like, let them rot on the bench. I mean, you get 5 fouls, but the way this game was being fouled or called, I had to be conservative, and I had to keep Chandler over there way more, which, you know, in the long run might be great. I mean,
sure,
and
exactly.
Now we get to go to the conference tournament, and he only played 21 minutes and didn't have to score 40 points for us to win. And, you know, I think it might help us in the long run. And then, you know, I got a lot of guys' minutes.
And just talking about that, Chandler Hutchison only played 21 minutes.
Yeah.
The only game he'd foul out of all season would be senior day at Boise State. But the 2 grad transfers, Chris Sengfelder, 24, Lexus Williams, tied a career high for his career, set a Boise State career with 22 points. He made all 12 of his free throws. I mean, if you want to talk about how the game was decided, Boise State made 79% of their free throws, 27 of 34. That's a lot of free throws to take. But Wyoming got to the free throw line 22 times. But they only made 11. I mean, you're going back to Laramie,
right,
you'd say, okay, let's say if you missed 11 free throws. Let's say you made 6 of them. You made half of the ones you missed. 6 makes it a lot tighter game. All of a sudden, it's 95-93. Maybe the game, you know, plays out differently for them. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Thinking last night when I was emceeing the Boise State basketball banquet, made this comment. We could have had no seniors on the floor, and the seniors had over 50% of the points last night. Chandler could have opted to go to the pros. He did not.
Mm-hmm.
And then we end up with Chris Sengfelder and Lexus Williams, and at this time, no one had ever heard of them. So we got them in the spring. I think it was in May for both of them. So what a difference keeping your lone senior and getting 2 grad transfers has made on this team. They wouldn't be sitting 23-9. And by the way, if they win the tournament, they'd set the school record for wins. The record is 26. Right now we're sitting at 23. Excuse me, the record is 25. 26 would be a new record, and they're sitting at 23.
Yeah. KBOI News Time, 8:43.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. Regular season is history.
Good regular season. As I said, 23-7 and 13-5, finishing in the conference. Boise State will be heading to Las Vegas. They'll be the 2 seed. They will get the bye, which means on Wednesday in the afternoon, Utah State will face Colorado State. That'll be the 7-10 game. The winner will face Boise State. A lot of things shook out over the weekend as far as some of the seeds in the middle moving. And sometimes you get what you wish for and sometimes you don't. I got what I wished for. And Abe and I were talking that we wanted, even though they've played a little better than UNLV, we wanted Utah State to win that game, to have them fall into our bracket, send UNLV, a team that they haven't done much. They've lost, I think, 5 in a row, but, boy, they've got talent. They're playing on their home floor.
Yep.
You'd think, maybe you want to stay away from them, so that happened. You kind of wanted San Diego to go to the other bracket, keep Wyoming in yours, so San Diego with the big win over Nevada, that keeps it, that part true.
Arguably, San Diego, the hottest team in the conference.
They are, absolutely. They're playing the best, and I think they've gotten healthy again, which is a factor. And then, the lesser extent, Fresno and New Mexico were playing for the 3 seed. I think I'd rather tangle with New Mexico than Fresno.
Right.
But of the three of the scenarios of who you'd get, that would have been my least priority. So we've got Utah State, Colorado State winner on Thursday at 7 Mountain, 6 Pacific. If you're going, if we win that one, we'll play the late game on Friday, which would be 8:30 Pacific, 9:30 Mountain. And that would be against whoever survives, New Mexico, Wyoming, or San Jose State, which is either New Mexico or Wyoming. And then if you get to the finals, I don't care if you're playing the Golden State Warriors. If you're in the finals, you take whoever you get. You're
exactly
happy to be there. Coach Rice, after the game, talked about what he wants to see out of his team down in Las Vegas.
Well, we need everybody clicking. And the good thing is tonight, you know, you got Christian with 24, Lexus with 22, Justinian with 15, you know, 6 for 7 from the floor. Zach had 8 off 6 shots, 9 rebounds. And, you know, you didn't have to have Chandler get 40 and 20. And that's a good sign. And that's what we need. And, you know, all the way, you know, Alex came in there at the end and got some big buckets for us, you know, after he'd been sitting with all that foul trouble. So those things all are going to add up for us, and we need everybody playing their best basketball now.
And I've got a couple keys going to the tournament for me. One, you know, Chandler to me is a given. You're going to expect close to 20 points from him.
Yep.
And you're going to expect 7, 8, 9 rebounds. I think Sengfelder is going to be a given. I think he's going to have about 12, 13 points, and he's going to have about 8 or 9 rebounds. To me, the guys that are going to be your guys are going to put you over the top. Jessup's going to be one of them. He shot the ball well again, 6 of 7, but he did it a little bit more on driving as opposed to taking the 3. But in the last 3 or 4 games, he's been much better. Zach Haney had 8 and 9. They got to keep Zach Haney out of foul trouble. He's by far their best center on this team.
No question.
And he gives Boise State a 6'11 center that's athletic that some teams don't have. I think he can be a difference maker. And then Alex Hobbs is another guy. He needs to come off the bench and give him close to 10 points. I think those are going to be the three guys that are going to be the difference makers. I think what you see, what you get is going to be Williams, Sengfelder, Dickinson, and Hutchison. I think those guys are going, you're going to kind of know what you're going to get, but the other three guys I think are going to be the guys that if they play well, Boise State will cut the nets down.
I agree. And if Alexis plays like he played against Wyoming, we stand a pretty good chance.
Yeah, I think he's been tremendous at, you know, running the show for Boise State. And again, they play Thursday night early, 6 o'clock Pacific time, 7 Mountain, Utah State, Colorado State. I think they're going to play New Mexico in the second round. I guess Wyoming could beat them, but I think New Mexico is probably playing a little bit better. We'll know a little later this week on Player of the Week. I don't know. Sneaking suspicion San Diego State's getting in the final, but that's a guess. A little more urgency for them than for Nevada point guard Jerron Hopkins, injured for Fresno State. I think I might have said Fresno before that, but not 100%. Nevada has got their bid locked up. They're going to the tournament. It's just a question of what seed they're going to be. So we'll see if Chandler Hutchison gets the player of the year from the coaches. He got it from the media. Nobody else was on either first, second, or third team from Boise State. And good chance, I think, Boise State gets to the tournament. But the only way they're getting there, Paul Jay, is by winning this thing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think they have a chance.
And we'll take a look at what the women's draw is. They won the regular season over the weekend, shared it with Vegas, and they're the number one seed. We'll look at their path next when we come back on Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
Okay, we are back. Not only did the Boise State men finish on a high note. The Boise State women finished on a higher note. They won the conference.
And they did, and Brady Hodgins had 24 points, a career high, 67-63 over Wyoming. They tie with UNLV for the championship. Both are regular season champs, but Boise State wins the tiebreaker, so they will be the one seed. UNLV will be the two seed. And maybe the biggest thing is there were three teams that came into the last weekend that were tied. And by winning the number one seed, Wyoming, who you beat very closely in Laramie, ends up in the other side of the draw. So the two teams that shared, you know, the lead all the way really through the season, two of the other ones are on the other side of the bracket, so that's good for Boise State. They'll play tomorrow, 1 o'clock Mountain Time. You can hear it with Chris Lewis over on AM 1350, The Ticket. They'll play the winner of this afternoon's game between Air Force and Utah State. And then you get by them, then Wednesday night at 7:30 Mountain Time, you'll be playing the Fresno State, Colorado State winner. And then I'm going to guess you're going to see either UNLV or Wyoming in the finals, and the finals would be Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock our time.
And a great finish for the Broncos.
Well, Coach Presnell, I've never seen him, or I didn't see it, but I heard the interview with Chris postgame use the cut during Broncos Sports today. I've never seen him more excited. Team was 6-5 at Christmas and ends up finishing 20 wins on the season. So did a tremendous job. And, you know, they've won two of the last three tournaments. They're going for three out of the last four. So they kind of have an idea how to get it done in Las Vegas.
Yep, and that's good. And the Boise State men, they finished in the top three years in a row.
No actually, other, actually 4 years in a row.
4 years in a row. No other team has done that.
The last time somebody did that in the Mountain West was UNLV did it 2011 through 2014. So it has been a while. To me, that says consistency for Boise State. That, you know, maybe you don't win it every year, but you've had a very good team every year, because if you're finishing in the top three, you are, you know, obviously having a solid season.
Now, the Broncos have never won the Mountain West tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They've never even made the championship game.
Correct.
What happens to them in the tournament?
Well, I think a couple times they've been a little hurt. I think the 1 year that they got to the semifinals, they ran into a New Mexico team that was a little bigger and a little better than they were. So, I'm not so sure the team at 13 maybe wasn't our best Mountain West team. That was the year Drimmick and Marks were sophomores. Drimmick was completely healthy, and you had Broplay, Loriaga, and Watkins as seniors.
Good team.
I mean, again, we're splitting hairs. There have been some very good teams here. The team that lost in 15, they ended up going to the tournament, I believe, was got beaten by Wyoming in overtime. I think that was a loss they'd like to have back. That was probably a team, based on what the rest of the field was, I don't want to say should have won, but certainly could have won the Mountain West tournament as well.
Yeah, it would not have been
I like the draw. I like the draw, Paul Jay. I don't think you could ask for more. You're going to have to beat somebody in the championship.
You got to beat somebody to win the championship.
And, you know, I like the matchup with Utah State. I don't think Colorado State will beat them. I think they're ready to head to spring break after the Eustace debacle all year long. And then New Mexico, I think, is a much better team at home than they are on the road. And I don't know what they'll be neutral. But I think I'd rather take my chances with New Mexico or Wyoming than, say, San Diego State or Fresno.
Yeah. So look for Boise State to score 90 against either New Mexico or Wyoming.
Well, yeah, that'll be a high-scoring game. New Mexico just runs it up and down the floor. They don't play as much defense, at least in the half court, as some of the other teams. We saw what Wyoming has to offer on Saturday. Turnovers are key.
Yep.
Boise State has had five conference losses. They've had 15 or more turnovers in four of the five games that they've lost. Turnovers have to be kept. And I always think in a tournament game, people are more cautious with the basketball. Possessions are a little bit tighter. They're a little bit slower, usually speaking. I don't think you can have more than 12 or 13 turnovers and expect to have a good game. And I also think they're going to have to shoot it pretty well from three. I don't think they're going to have to bomb it for 50%, but I think they're going to have to be in the upper 30s, and they shoot about 39% for the season. So I think if they shoot their average from three and take care of the ball, I think they're going to be fine.
Okay, let's go through your game schedule for the week.
Well, it starts tomorrow on the women's side. It'll be a 1 o'clock game with Chris Lewis over on AM 1350, and then they could play again Wednesday night at 7:30. They should. They should beat Utah State or Air Force. On the men's side, the first game will be Thursday for the men at 7 o'clock Mountain Time. We'll be on the air at 6:30 with Abe Jackson and I against the winner of Utah State and Colorado State. Friday, it'll be late. We'll be playing a 9:30 Mountain game against probably either New Mexico or Wyoming, and then the finals for the women Friday afternoon for the men's. It'll be Saturday at 4 with a 3:30 pregame.
All right, Bobby, have fun this week. Tournaments, always fun. Conference tournaments.
Always nerve-wracking, too, because you never know when the last game comes because you blow something right at the end and you're eliminated, too.
All right, thanks, Bob Beeler. 8:56, take a news break and be back with Idaho Talks Live.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
What are you, chopped liver? Chris Walton's not here. It's Nate Shellman. Easy. Easy. It'll be okay. Nate Shellman.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
You okay?
I'm okay.
All right.
I got,
We might have to put a tariff on you if you keep sniveling. See, Donald Trump is now dangling the possibility of lifting the steel and aluminum tariffs he's imposed if NAFTA is renegotiated to terms more favorable to the U.S. So he's trying a power play here,
which isn't a bad thing, you know, because
especially if it works.
First of all, we make steel, we create steel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I heard stories this morning and over the weekend, car companies worried, car companies complaining, hey, the cost of our cars are going to go up. Well,
and they're going, beer's going to go sky high because of beer cans. Stop it.
Wait,
stop
what?
It.
What? I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that story.
Aluminum beer cans.
What?
Hmm. Quadruple the price of beer.
Okay, just put
can
it in the bottles.
Of Bud Light will cost you.
Just put it in the bottles then.
I know. Plastic.
Yeah, yeah, plastic bottles is what they're thinking
plastic
about
bottles.
Doing.
No, that's just plastic bottles.
Well, that's what they put them in now, right?
No, they put them in glass bottles.
Oh, soda, it's soda
yeah.
that's in soda's plastic
in,
bottles.
Yeah, soda's in plastic.
Yeah.
You could always put them in those Sapporo. That's a Japanese brew. It's got a steel can. You can club somebody with it. The can's actually worth more than the beer is. It's, for those of you that like Sapporo, my apologies, but it's crap. But the can, it's the strongest can I've ever held in my life that held a beverage.
Well, they sell beer, I know. Like in Fresno, at football games, they sell beer in plastic bottles.
Huh.
Because you can throw glass bottles and kill somebody. But plastic bottles will harmlessly bounce off somebody's noggin.
Call it a power play, though. Call it a... call it whatever you want. I like the idea.
I'm calling it a power play.
Sure.
And I don't think that's a bad thing.
I don't have a problem with it. And everyone said, well, we might get in a trade war. What, are we afraid of something all the time? Like we're going to stop buying steel? Like we're going to stop buying aluminum? Like we're going to stop making it? These factories, and I've watched, and I have a relative in my family that actually works for a company that has... a manufacturing plant in China, and they've gone over there twice, and they've come back with tales of horror. We have OSHA here, okay? We have in the
OSHA horse. Everybody's seen that.
Yeah, we have rules, regulations, just for the safety of the workers. You have people in China welding in flip flops, okay? The EPA is normally a four-letter word, depending on where you're going for. But you don't want people just dumping. You don't want companies just dumping raw poison into one of the largest rivers in the world, which is what they do in China because they don't care. They'd rather sell the stuff. They pay their workers what, cents on the hour?
A pittance.
Yeah, and if they die, which happens all the time, they just literally pluck somebody else out from the outside, teach them how to weld, and you're working now.
Amazing.
That's how they're able to sell this stuff so much cheaper. So, yes, our stuff is more expensive. Yeah, I mean, outside of, you know, outside of a whole bunch of rules, the unions really aren't necessary when it comes to steel anymore. All right? We have the safety laws.
It's put in place.
And I said it earlier this morning, having lived in two steel communities. Cleveland still has a little bit of steel. Birmingham has none. Birmingham is zero. They actually do ghost town tours. They actually do haunted tours from there and tell about the stories of people falling in the cauldron.
Ah.
Yeah. And I remember driving into work, you know, downtown Cleveland. You would be able to see the flame from the LTV LTV plant for miles. And, yeah, it had an aroma. Yeah, it wasn't. It probably wasn't all that great for the environment. But you knew when that flame was on, they were making steel.
Yep.
People were employed.
Business.
Yes.
Well, the president said we have large trade deficits with Mexico, Canada. NAFTA, which is under renegotiation right now, has been a bad deal for the USA. Massive relocation of companies and jobs. Tariffs on steel and aluminum will only come off if new and fair NAFTA agreements are signed. That was a tweet, big tweet, this morning. He went on to add, Canada must treat our farmers much better, highly restrictive. Mexico must do much more on stopping drugs. Boy, he's pounding the gavel from pouring into U.S. They have not done what needs to be done. Millions of people are addicted and dying.
And this all affects us.
And he says, to protect our country, we must protect American steel. Hashtag America first.
I have no problem with any of that, as long as he sticks to it.
Mexican Foreign Secretary Luis Videgaray-Caso responded to Trump's NAFTA tweet, calling the drug issue a shared responsibility between the two countries.
Okay.
Which it is.
I'd agree with that.
Yep. So, yeah. Trump, what was that?
That was your phone ringing.
Really?
Yeah.
First noise that thing's made in 2 years. Trump said he's imposing a 25% tariff on steel imports and a 10% tariff on aluminum imports. White House Trade Advisor Peter Navarro told CNN Sunday no country will be excluded.
Good.
And there was some speculation that some might.
I remember a couple of years ago there was a big to-do over the when they were throwing all the money at transportation and trying to rebuild roads and bridges and so on and so forth. Okay, whoever's calling you has to stop that. Trying to rebuild the roads and all the bridges. The Republicans at the time wanted to put in a rule that said only U.S. or U.S. steel had to be used first or considered first. And all the other countries got their dander up. Wait, what about us? What about us? And I feel like saying, what about you? It's our country. It's our roads. It's our bridges.
True.
Put the U.S. workers back to work. Yes, drilling for oil or drilling for steel or drilling for the ore, manufacturing it, refining it, it stinks. Okay? It also puts people to work. Mm-hmm. There's a reason Pittsburgh exists as a city. And all the story history behind that and all the jobs that have come through that. Yes, people have gotten rich beyond belief on steel, but we built this country using American steel. It hasn't gone away. It hasn't evaporated. We still have all that stuff in the ground. We can put it back. We can make it. We can stop buying it from other countries. Or if we're going to let it in this country, make it so that it's at the same level, same quality as our steel is, and just as expensive.
Yep. White House Trade Advisor Peter Navarro said no country will be excluded, but he also said, and making remarks less than an hour after the president's tweet, that it appeared at odds with the White House position. I understand we get a great NAFTA agreement, and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer is trying to do that. It would be a great thing for American people. But at this point in time, 25% on steel, 10% on aluminum, no country exclusions, firm line in the sand, Navarro told Fox and Friends on Monday morning. Navarro said Sunday the tariffs were set to be signed either this week or next week. However, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross left some room for Trump to change his mind.
The political reaction from this has been a photo negative.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the stock market this morning.
The Democrats love the idea that Trump has.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans are scared and worried about this proposal. And it was in one of our own national top of the hour feeds where they threw in a veiled dig at President Trump, where President Trump enacted a 100-year-old rule to be able to do this. Well, if it's in the rules, give the guy or somebody on his staff some amount of credit for doing their homework and dusting that rule off and say, look, the president actually can do this. We actually can put America back to work. This can happen. Maybe the Rust Belt can actually make steel again.
That would be incredible. KBOI News Time, 9:16.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
Now and then. Near, far. Doing double days this week. Nate Shellman here filling in for Chris Walton, the vacationing Chris Walton, alongside Paul J. Schneider. 208-336-3700. #670 on your Verizon Wireless phone. 1-800-529-KBOI. I don't just like the idea of increasing tariffs on importing steel and aluminum. I absolutely love it. Looking at some of the headlines here, they're going through a number of car stocks that have gone down at the start of today's market. Dow up, by the way, at this moment, 105 points.
But, and that's gone up quite a ways. It was 50 when we changed over,
right,
like 3 minutes ago.
So I think it's a bold move. I think we need to start building something as a country. We need to start making stuff and using our own resources.
A lot of people are turned off by the timidity that seems to be, I don't know if I want to say prevalent or rampant, which seems to be present in a lot of our dealing with other countries. We used to,
we lost our starch.
Speak silently and carry a big stick.
Yeah.
Now we've left the stick at home and we still speak silently.
So
a lot of people are liking what's happening.
So when you have a guy who has, and we've had comments about this, we've had conversations about this, you have a guy who has that bravado.
Mm-hmm.
He has that attitude. And some of it might be deserved, some of it may not be, but he has ego, whatever you want to call it. It's ego. A lot of it's ego. And you have that success.
Yep.
We did lose that. The country.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, well, we need to think about how that affects the entire world. No, we actually don't. We need to think first and foremost how it affects us. That's what we need to think first and foremost. You can care about the rest of the world.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong. There's nothing that keeps you from worrying about, everybody else's living conditions in other countries, anywhere else on the globe, as long as you worry about ours first.
Yeah. And that has been a problem in this country. You know, we'll have people in Appalachia starving to death, and we're sending all this money overseas. So people have been upset about that, a certain group of people, for a long time. And, they make a good point. Take care of yourself first. But the fact that we're so timid and so concerned with the way other countries view us and see us, that we've lost some of our might.
Made in America, the movement. Remember the Made in America movement?
Yep.
And it's come up. It's come up twice in my lifetime. All right. It was really prevalent in the 80s. It kind of made a silent comeback in the 90s, but hadn't really heard too much about it. I don't know if it was political correctness or if it, you know, whatever the mindset was, call it timid, call it whatever, but it went away. To see that possible resurgence of how much of what you're wearing now was made here, how much of your car was made in the U.S. I come from an area where once upon a time, if you drove a foreign car, something might happen because there were Ford plants, there were Chevy plants. You know, now there's a Honda plant. You know, now you have foreign companies making cars here.
Yep.
But those American cars, those domestic cars, once they shut down the steel, once they started importing more of those cars, we saw the jobs go away. We can still make that stuff.
KBOY News Time 9:26.
This is Idaho Talks Live, today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Yeah, listen to Nate all day long. It's the way we do it around here.
Just for this week.
Let's go to phones. We got a couple of callers on the phone. Let's go to Steve of Boise. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You know, tariffs were instituted years ago as kind of a protectionary measure. And we seem to be pushing this global economy and global everything and one world government and one world trade. And, you know, I like what Trump says. You know, I'm an American. I think when this country does well, the rest of the country does well, or the rest of the world does well. I mean, there's going to be conflicts worldwide everywhere. There always is. And, you know, like I said before, when this country does well, the rest of the world does well. If this country falters and dies or, you know, goes into bankruptcy, the rest of the world is going to collapse. And, you know, we've seen this with depressions in the past. And so all the tariffs are going to do is hopefully help our industries. We've been outsourcing in this country for 30 years that I know of, and it could have been even, it was less, you know, further back than that. But Nixon, when he opened up China back in, what, the late 60s, early 70s, really made an impact on where the outsourcing headed and where it went. And now, you know, they've become a worldwide power, and our dominion, if you will, in the world has kind of lowered a little while their growth has gone up. And, you know, you were talking about the cost of things. And it's that competition and the competitive spirit that really works. But on a worldwide scale, when you have governments stepping in to subsidize industries when they won't hear, you know, that's the unfavorable trade balance he's been talking about for years. And he hasn't changed his views. He hasn't changed anything. I mean, this guy's been around. We've been watching him develop Trump industries and Trump this and Trump that for 30, 40 years. And he, to me, he's got a good head on his shoulders. I wish there was more people that had a head like that, that thought about this country first and the American people first. What say you?
Well, I'd like to see him, you know, follow through on it. I think that's what I want. You can make a tweet. You can make a statement.
Yes.
You can make a speech, Steve. Anybody can say something. It's like, I'm going to do this. Yep. It's the follow through that's really what the gauge is. I've spoken at a rally. Paul J., you can get the crowd riled up whenever you want to.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's the follow through and actually putting more people back to work that is the harder, more intricate step. I don't disagree with anything you say. I have no disagreements at all. It's just getting it done. That's the hardest thing.
Show me the money.
Right.
And you know, the first thing that is going to help this, confidence. When people have confidence that their money's not, that's going to come back with a return on it, they will invest. You know, if they think they're putting money out there and they're not getting anything, and it's the foreign investment that has the greater return of investment, and that's what's drawing people to foreign investments. But then we get this attitude, you know, you're buying up everybody's resources. So, well, yeah, we do a little bit because they sell them.
We have to move away as a country from not completely what we are and what we've become, but we have to be a little less consumerish and a little more productive. We have to start making more stuff.
No doubt.
Well, the biggest thing we can export is freedom. And when that goes across the world, that individual personal greed is what really makes an economy grow, because you want to do better than your parents did, and you want to feed your family. And that little bit of spark within is what makes capitalism work on a large scale. But it all takes those little itty bits to make it work.
Yep,
each of us individually working. That's what makes an economy grow. And you can't hoard your money. That money's got to be put back into the economy. That's what really makes it grow.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Steve. Let's move on to Jim of Boise. Jim, good morning.
Morning. I think one of the big problems in this country is we are considerably hypocritical. It goes back to what Clinton said. It's the economy, stupid. And the key word there was stupid, of course. But people, you know, you could say support your countrymen, buy American. They want to buy cheap. That's why it's happening. That's why people go to the dollar store.
No question.
So there's the big hypocrisy. They say we're patriotic, et cetera, et cetera, but I want a good deal.
Yeah, you're right. Completely right in that. At the same time, it's not a level playing field. Everybody talks about a level playing field when it comes to the economy, when it comes to dollar values, when it comes to trade. You have an entire country that doesn't even value the human beings that are putting those trinkets together, or making the steel, or weaving the shoes, or whatever. They don't care how long they work or how many drugs they're on so they can work as many hours as they work in a week.
But see, I mean, that goes back to the consumer. If we had any backbone, we'd say, okay, we're going to boycott China. But we don't.
No, just raise the tariff on them.
Yeah, right. You're going to buy your 50-inch TV with an Ishii at the end of it for $800, or you're going to buy one with made in the USA at the end of it for $2,000?
Yeah, comes back to patriotism when it gets down to it.
Well,
quality's in there, too.
So thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
I don't think we make any TVs here.
I don't think so.
There was a time
I bought an RCA TV, I want to say 5 years ago, to put in front of my treadmill.
Right.
And that is the last USA brand TV I've ever seen, I think. Might be.
When the VCRs first came out. Mm-hmm. You know, there were a few of them that were still made here, and then all that went overseas, not just China, but Japan and Taiwan and Hong Kong and all that stuff. That's where they were manufactured. That's where they were made. That's where they were assembled. None of it was even made here.
Try to find a Philco or a General Electric or anything.
Right.
Can't.
We can. We can make this stuff. Before I moved here, I worked in a windshield plant.
Mm-hmm.
They manufactured and installed the windshields on the Mercedes. That plant closed in Alabama. Thankfully, I had already gotten this job. But that plant closed in Alabama. If you know where Birmingham, Alabama is on a map, okay, it was cheaper for Mercedes to get their windshields from China. Boat it across the world, land it at Mobile Bay,
right?
Truck it. What is it? 2-3 hours
to Birmingham.
Up to Birmingham. It was cheaper for them to do that than it was to have Americans make, manufacture, and assemble the windshields.
And that's been a problem for decades.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
KBOI News Time, 9:45. No tariffs on this show.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Now you can text Paul, Jay, and Chris. Text your message to 208-336-3700. Standard text rates apply. Sponsored by Diamond Heating and Cooling.
9:49 on a Monday morning. Paul J. and what's your name again?
Nate.
Nate Shellman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the last name right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Nate Shellman are here. Shellman will be here all day. He'll cook your lunch. He'll do
I sleep in the corner over there. It's wonderful. Don't forget that during Rush and Savage for the next 3 weeks.
Love it.
You get on the air with Rush or Savage. And all the information's on 670kby.com. But if you get your call on the air, you get your call on the air to Rush or Savage, you get a free specialty pizza from Idaho Pizza Company. And Paul J. earlier today said,
I'm going to throw in another pizza, so you'll get two.
Free, during Rush.
Two during Rush.
Yeah, because it's hard.
Two free specialty pizza.
It's harder to get through during Rush.
Yeah.
He'll go an hour without taking a call.
He will. But if you can get in on Rush, station will give you one, I'll give you one. That's the way it works here.
Can email us. I get Nate at KBOI.com. Bob emails me and says, Nate, I think China has their own set of problems. The workers of China will eventually revolt. They have access to the kind of life we lead here. How long can it be before they say, hey, why can't we have that kind of life? And that's Bob. Bob, they have a... They're mostly communists. The whole country isn't in squalor. Mm-hmm. All right? It's very advanced. The biggest difference between us and China is we actually do, compared to China, the U.S. does have a free market. The True. Government doesn't pick. Yeah, there's bidding wars here for government contracts. In China, no, there's no bid. They just pick. And they do it at birth, damn near.
Yeah.
You know, they do it at creation. Government will create their own companies. I could imagine gas would probably be a lot less expensive if the U.S. government owned an oil company, owned a, like they do in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So I could imagine that, but we don't do that here.
No, my daughter went nuts because gas is now above $2 a gallon in Texas.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going, shut up.
So they do have an advanced society beyond what they had, you know, beyond the National Geographic videos and documentaries that they see. But by the way, that's also some of the propaganda that they'll point out too. Hey, look at all of our nice places. It's like when you're looking to vacation in Puerto Vallarta or Cozumel, and they'll show you all of the resorts. But if you go 2 miles outside of that,
the Backstreet Boys,
it's a place you wouldn't want to be caught after dark, let alone during the day.
Exactly.
China's got a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say they value the workers there. They don't value the workers.
No.
They create their classes.
We had a call off the air, wanted to know, where does the tariff money go? Who gets the tariff money? Why do we pay it? How does that work?
We don't. The company's importing.
Yes.
Pay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you know they can increase the cost of their good. They can increase doesn't even matter. It doesn't come from us. It comes from the company that's bringing it here.
But eventually,
right,
cost of goods will go up and we will get hit.
Cost of that good will.
Of that good.
Right.
Of the beer can.
Right. Well, once upon a time, if you bought something imported, it was going to be more expensive than what was made domestic.
50, 60 years ago.
Yeah. If you wanted, and it didn't matter what was imported. If you wanted imported beer or an imported jacket or imported shoes, it used to mean something. Now they're all made somewhere else.
Yeah. Nothing's made here.
We don't make anything. So that money just goes to the government. The tariff money just goes to the U.S. government.
And basically what they're trying to do is force companies to buy American steel.
Right.
American aluminum, whatever. American leather to make shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of buying cheaper goods from other countries because they're making the goods from other countries that were cheaper the same price. So... You have a choice, but they want you to take the U.S.
The way the laws are written now, the U.S. government can't even give first first crack, first option to U.S. companies for, you know, the transportation. The transportation jobs that they have, the bridges, the roads, you know, all the overpasses, all that steel girdering, all that stuff. Nope, that's against some federal trade law that
China,
they can't
baby.
Do that.
Yeah.
Right. Where we should be able to do that. If Ford wants to use foreign steel or if Chevy wants to use foreign steel or foreign aluminum for their automobiles, fine. Go ahead and pay the government for that. And you want to increase the cost of your car or truck? Well, that's on you. Or buy domestic.
Mm-hmm.
Buy domestic steel. Buy domestic goods.
Amazing. KBOI News Time, 9:55. We'll be back tomorrow and do it all again. So stay tuned. Rush Limbaugh coming up after a news break.
Call Rush. Get a pizza.
Two pizzas.
Two pizzas.